Hare Krishna. Devotees of the Lord aspire to take every possible opportunity to be amongst the Vaishnavas, to hear and chant the glories of Radha and Krishna. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would meet his devotees in Jagannath Puri, they would celebrate every possible festival. In fact, practically every day was a festival. Tonight we have gathered together in this very beautiful place. And what makes it beautiful is the purpose it is being utilized for. Without Krishna consciousness, the beautiful things of this world very soon turn into something unexpectedly different. I would like to give you an example. The very first time we had a program here, just in the center of this building, perfectly balanced with the architecture, there was a very nice platform decorated, an altar for deities, and people came and saw such a beautiful, charming place to have satsang. Now, when you're having satsang, any situation is transcendentally wonderful. But let us examine what took place from the material point of view. So they escorted me, their insignificant servant, to sit on the platform, which is supposed to be a somewhat prestigious place to be. And this very, very high building was the backdrop. But do you know what type of people live on the top of these high buildings? They're people with gray feathery bodies and two wings. So first the devotees offered me a garland, very fragrant, nice garland. And then the people on top started making their offerings. And there was probably a couple hundred people. And I'm trying to present myself as a very transcendental person. And I started leading kirtan, and these offerings, they were on my face and on my clothes, and I was trying to make it look like nothing happened. Because these chatters, you can kind of move them around to cover the track marks. But then I realized, and it was happening throughout the whole lecture too, every now and then, and everyone was watching and they didn't know what to do. Should they laugh? Should they cry? But after we accepted that this is just material nature, anything could happen at any time, but our joy and our pride is not in what we look like or where we are, but who we're with and what we're doing. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he felt as if he was in Vaikuntha when he was in hearing and chanting in a public latrine. in the cooling of Dharamashala, in Navadvip, he would spend the whole day in a public latrine. Now, for you devotees from New Raman Reti, I don't know how many public latrines you've been in India. It's just one little tiny toilet stall. And he would sit in there and he would chant his rounds all day long, loudly crying out the names of Krishna. And he was in the spiritual world. He was seeing the Jamuna Govardhan. He was seeing the Gopas, the Gopis in the latrine, because he was so absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But anyone who was not on his platform could not remain with him for more than a few seconds only. Another time he was staying at the place where people would go to respond to nature's calls, near the banks of the Ganga, near a boat. And other times in this latrine, one time a materially motivated person came to him and said, "I want your blessings. Please let me be your disciple." Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "I don't believe you're serious. I'm giving the treasure of love of God. I'm not giving material benedictions. Is that what you really want?" "Yes, yes, that's what I want. Please give me your blessings. Let me be your disciple." So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "Yes, you stay here in the latrine with me and you chant day and night, and that will be my blessing to you." The man, within a second, he ran in the other direction, because he didn't want Krishna. He wanted something material from a spiritual person. Srila Prabhupada, he would often give this type of benediction too. One time someone approached him, "Swamiji, please give me your blessing." Srila Prabhupada knew what his motive was. So Prabhupada was very busy with other things to do. He said, "Swamiji, please, please give me blessings." So Prabhupada turned to him and said, "I bless you that your material life is finished." The man fell down to the ground in shock, crying, saying, "Please, Swamiji, not that blessing. What's already given is given." What does it mean, material life finished? It means our hopes, our aspirations, and our attachments for happiness within this material world are finished. At that time, we put our complete faith in the hope that Krishna's mercy will bring me the fulfillment of all of my desires. To transcend the attachments of this world is real perfection. Not to accumulate more and more attachments to this world. Because on one level or another, there's always some pigeons overhead ready to create a very, very embarrassing situation for us in this material world. To protect ourselves from that situation, we have to keep our heart and our mind always absorbed in the plane of spirituality. In fact, when a devotee is put in those types of predicaments, he thanks Krishna. There is the story of Avanti Brahman. He wasn't a devotee, but he was put in such a totally embarrassing, humiliating situation. It caused such pain to his heart that he had no one to turn to except Krishna. And when he turned to Krishna, he became spiritually enlightened. And then he thanked Krishna. "This is the most wonderful benediction you have given me." So Srila Prabhupada explained that you can be living in a very nice house with your family, with basic comforts, and you can be happy in Krishna consciousness. But the happiness is when you're not attached to the material facilities, but you're attached to that supreme person whom they are all meant to be utilized in the service of. That is real Vedic culture. And India is the place in the world where this spiritually based culture has such very deep, strong roots. People from various parts of the world come to India searching for that, for spiritual direction and a lifestyle by which we can fulfill our spiritual aspirations. If the people of India turn away from their culture toward the things of the Western world, the promises for material prosperity and enjoyment, then the world becomes a hopeless place. Actually, after that program, someone told me, "I don't know if it's a tradition or a superstition. You can explain it to me." But they told me that it's considered a very auspicious blessing of the demigods when a pigeon passes stool on your body. Have any of you heard that before? Yes, this is a true story. Is it in some Purana? So this means whatever happens to us, our happiness or distress is how we interpret it. It's not the thing in and of itself. Any situation that comes upon us, whether it be tragedy, crisis, pain, or whether it be some very, very wonderful facility providing prosperity, whatever may happen, our happiness in life is how we are able to interpret what it is and why. Srila Prabhupada explains how a devotee is always peaceful, because he sees everything is coming as the mercy of God for my ultimate benefit in life. I may or may not understand why this is happening in this way, at this time, to me, but I know one thing for sure, that not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. It may be a karmic reaction, or it may just be the sweet will of the Supreme, but for whatever reason, the ultimate hand behind it is God. And therefore, Krishna is the Lord who is the ultimate lover of all living beings. By material standards, it may be just or it may be utterly unjust. However, if somehow or other we can accept with a grateful heart whatever comes into our life, we can always be making spiritual progress, and we can be peaceful. We can be happy. When the pigeon passes stool on one person's head, he's thinking, what a terrible curse. What will people think of me? I'll give you a similar story. It's a very interesting story. Please listen carefully. There was a professor at the University of Pittsburgh. There's 40,000 students at this university. And no one can speak anything about religion at that university unless this professor gives his approval. So I went there with one of my godbrothers, Kripa Maya Prabhu. And we went to the religion departments, the history of the departments, the archaeology departments, the sociology departments, and every professor said, yes, we would love to have you give lectures on a regular basis in our classes, but you have to get the approval of this particular professor. So we went to him, and he was utterly antagonistic about our movement, because years before, he was a professor in Boston, and one devotee gave a class, and he, as a professor, tried to show how learned he was, and the devotee totally defeated him in argument in front of all of his students, to the extent that all the students laughed at him. Hare Krishna. This is called penny wise and pounds foolish. You might get a little impression, but then after that, there's not much hope. So when we went in, he immediately started insulting us. He said, you people are harsh, you people are rude, you have no good manners. I will never give permission for you to do anything on this campus. So somehow or other, we gave him some prasad. Because he had been to India. He's an authority of India amongst Western scholars. So he liked the prasad. And it was amazing to see how this prasad just was changing his heart right before our eyes. He said, actually, if you bring this kind of prasad for me, I'll meet with you privately. So we went there a couple times and gave him prasad. And he said he became very favorable. We made nice friends with him. He said, I would like to come and bring all my students to New Vrindavan on a field trip. So we were very happy. This is breaking the ice, as they say. So it happened to be the day of Gopastami. Gopastami is when Krishna first time took the cows out into the pasture with Balaramji in Nandagram. It's the biggest festival of the year in Nandagram, when Krishna is given charge of the cows. So the custom is to worship cows on that day. So in the Goshala, there was a wonderful festival of kirtan and offering nice different types of prasad to the cows, and they were offering arti to cows. And he came with all of his students right during the festival in the Goshala. He was wearing a very expensive three-piece suit with a tie and white shirt. He looked very, very prestigious for all of his students. So within the first minute he came into the barn, he was standing behind one of the Mataji cows. And by her benevolent, merciful nature, she began to pass dung and urine simultaneously. What happened is the dung fell down and splashed up. And it splashed in a way I've never seen it splash before. It went... his tie, his white shirt, his suit, his pants, his spectacles were covered with cow dung. And all the students were laughing at him. I promised him. I said, whoever that was that made all your students laugh at him, he wasn't a good person. He must have made some mistake. But we don't, you're a respectable person. We don't want to humiliate you or make anyone laugh at you. So he said, well, if you promise me this, then I'll give you another chance. But man proposes and God disposes. All the students were laughing at him. And he was not laughing. He was angry with tears of embarrassment in his eyes. And the worst thing is we were 8 hours taking him around to different places. And the whole time he kept looking at all these stains all over his body. He was in frustration. Now, it's just a matter of interpretation. If any of you were to come to New Vrindavan and get cow dung all over you, you'd walk around all day thinking they were ornamentations. It's the mercy of the cow. It's like tilak. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's mother, after Trinavarta, took Krishna high in the sky, very, very big demon in the form of whirlwind. Higher and higher and higher. But Krishna assumed such a heavy weight, like a mountain. He tried to push Krishna off. But Krishna, who was just a little baby, hardly 1 year old, was holding on with his arm around the demon's neck. His weight was so great that Trinavarta came crashing down to the ground. Seeing this, Yashoda Mai and the other gopis, they were so concerned for Krishna's welfare that they began to chant auspicious mantras, and they were taking cow dung and putting tilak on the different parts of Krishna's body as decorations. In fact, on Janamastami, the Panchagavya, we bathe Krishna with the urine and the dung of cows. And that becomes prasad. In fact, there are doctors here in India who claim they can cure any disease by different types of medications mixed with cow dung and cow urine. So a devotee, cow dung and cow urine coming by the causeless mercy of cow, it's an ornament, it's a decoration, it makes us happy. But this poor professor, he was frustrated, humiliated, and miserable. In fact, when he went back to the university, we never heard from him again. Hare Krishna. For about 6 months, then we called him. He said, you promised me you wouldn't make the students laugh at me again. I said, you've been in India enough to know that the cow is a transcendental person. So he said, yes. He said, actually, I was very, very purified by that experience. My ego was crushed. If it was a person that did it to me, I would have been so angry and taken revenge. But because it was a cow, I had to accept that it was just God's arrangement. I was so purified. Now you could all come and preach in our school anytime you like. Hare Krishna. This is a very simple example, but it's a very essential message. According to our consciousness, what happens to us in life any situation can either degrade us and frustrate us or elevate us and bring us joy. Krishna explains in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. That is what it means to be Krishna conscious. To be conscious of Krishna as the cause of all causes, the source of everything. And try to understand that the inconceivable will of the Lord is always perfect. We were explaining the other day when Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta and bombs were dropping during World War II. People were running to the bomb shelters. But he told us that I thought of Bhagavad Gita, the universal form, where Krishna says that I am the destroyer of everything that exists. So I consider these bombs to be the manifestation of Krishna. He was fearless. He was peaceful. He was happy. Whether Krishna kills me, whether Krishna saves me, I will be grateful for any type of mercy the Lord provides. And this type of Krishna consciousness is the price of the perfect realization of the spiritual world. Tatena kamsam sukshamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagva purvivadatan namaste jivetiya mukti pate sadayava. Our very dear Janani Vas Prabhu quoted this sloka this morning in his beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam class. That one who in whatever situation comes, happiness or distress, is grateful to Krishna with folded palms and carries on with his or her devotional service, that person is guaranteed to find the great treasure of the unlimited joy of the spiritual world in this life. To go back home, back to Godhead, doesn't only mean to go to Vaikuntha after the soul leaves this body, but to go back to home, to Godhead, also means in this life to have that realization that Krishna's mercy is all that I'm made of, and to welcome Krishna's mercy in every situation of life. So this is one of the lessons that we all learned sitting under the pigeons in this very special place. But since that time, every other program, they have put the platform here. Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to them for that also. That is another kind of mercy. Seek and ye shall find. This is stated in the Bible of the Christians. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will open. If we're seeking to find faults in others, we're going to find faults in others. Shishupal, he was always seeking to find faults in Krishna. And he was finding unlimited faults in Krishna. Krishna has unlimited good qualities. But because he was looking for faults, he was seeing all of his good qualities as faults. Therefore, he was seeing unlimited faults in Krishna. But if you're looking for the good, if you're looking for the opportunity for spiritual progress and purification, then you'll see that everywhere, in everything. when we're in the association of devotees and we're hearing the message of Godhead from Sri Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other great Vaishnava literatures, we are taught how to see things through the eyes of the scripture, which means how to see the glory, the love, and the mercy of God in every situation that comes into our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Would you like to speak something to many of us? He has toothache. He's saying that toothache is an opportunity to not have to speak tonight. That means he is transcendental. Janani Vas Prabhu is an example of this. As the pujari in Mayapur, he could have left his service for so many good reasons. He went through the despair of poverty, living in straw hut during monsoons, terrible floods, stranded in the middle of a paddy field with nothing and no one around, but he could not leave the deities. Everyone else coming and going when things were getting very difficult, so many people left. Sometimes during those floods, there was venomous cobras, scorpions just floating around everywhere. Mosquitoes, disease, malaria, typhoid, all kinds of diseases coming upon him. There was attacks by dacoits where they bombed the temple, they shot devotees, threatened to do it again and again. There was many internal inconceivable strifes that took place. This is just a few of the challenges that came to his life. But why is he such an effulgent, transparent, beautiful Vaishnav that wins our hearts whenever we see him or hear him? It's because through all of that, he gratefully accepted it as Krishna's mercy and went on hearing the glories of the Lord, serving his deities, and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. When you polish a jewel, the process of polishing is sometimes quite rough. If you take a raw diamond, you don't smear it with sandalwood oil. You take chisel and you chop at it. Then you take very coarse type of sandpaper with electrical instruments to grind it down. Hare Krishna. But the result is a shining diamond of a personality. And it's not that he suffered, because he interpreted everything in a very positive way. Krishna is sending this to somehow or other give me deeper realizations in my service to my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Tamstha Pikshasva Bharata Matris Varashastu Kauntaya Sipos Nasuka Dukada Agamapayanonityas Tamstha Pikshasva Bharata. To tolerate inconveniences and see the opportunity for devotional service. Anyone who has seen Janani Vas Prabhu dance during kirtan, that person will never be the same. He dances so gracefully, so beautifully. with so much genuine, humble devotion. And who would believe he's 56 years old? Hare Krishna. Because he's happy. Muralidhar Prabhu fixed his teeth. He told me why his teeth were all chopped up. Because the way he was living and where he was living, when you eat rice, almost every bite there are stones. And if you bite into a stone, year after year after year, eating rocks, it has its toll on your teeth. Huh? But he just went on eating stones for Krishna. Accepting it as just part of his prasad. He says that's why he has a stone heart. But we agree that your heart is like Govardhan Shila. Very well. So we're very grateful to have his association, because factually, all of the theoretical knowledge that we are discussing tonight convinces our heart when we see that there are living examples amongst us who live by this principle of always seeking to see how Krishna's mercy is there, and always seeking an opportunity for purification and spiritual realization in whatever comes in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think the question is probably, why is Swamiji speaking when it's time for prasad? So we'll have a short kirtan and then we'll take prasad. I want to thank all of you very, very much for coming this evening. Hare Krishna.